Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our weekly EAN podcast. My name is Barbara Tettenborn, and I'm the editor-in-chief of eLearning. Today, we have a special episode, and we are talking about our platform, how it developed over the last 3 years since we launched the platform. And I'm discussing this with one of our youngest members of the editorial board and still serving member, which we introduced a couple of years ago, to have the impression of the younger ones in the board as well. Her name is Roberta Balestrino, and I think it's best if she introduces herself shortly. Hello, Roberta.
Hello, Barbara. Thank you very much for the introduction. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast. My name is Roberta Balestrino. I'm a neurologist and a researcher in Italy in San Raffaele Institute in Milan. I have a special interest in movement disorder, both in clinics and research, and I'm very interested in how education can shape the future of our field. So I'm also part, as Barbara introduced, of the EAN e-learning committee, which I join as an observer editor, and where we work on developing new ways to make knowledge more accessible and engaging for our colleagues. Thank you, Barbara, for the introduction.
Yes, so we launched this platform in 2022. Before launch, it was already an enormous workload to put on all the bits and pieces to have a fully working platform to start with. But since then, there was an enormous development as well. So it's always work in progress having an e-learning platform. The original vision behind the EAN Campus was to provide a comprehensive learning platform for neurologists of all levels, for students, residents, fully trained neurologists at university hospitals, as well as in private practice. And we aligned the content of the EAN Campus to the European Training Requirements for Neurology, the ETRN. And since 22, we have covered approximately 75% of the ETRN curriculum already, which means that we really connected the pieces of the platform to the learning requirement of the residents, which is the part of the young ones. But of course, we also have a lot of content for more experienced neurologists, which is all divided into three levels of content: fundamental, advanced, and expert content for university people, very specialized neurologists. And that allows learners to decide what they want to learn based on their level of expertise in each topic. So if you, as a younger resident, or I think you are not really a young resident anymore. You are a rather experienced resident by now, but a younger person as compared to me. So we have this two-generation talk. What do you like most about the platform? How do you cruise through the platform if you use it?
So I really think that from the beginning of our journey in the e-learning, we made a long road. And I really believe that now we really cover different levels in neurology. So I believe that the platform is very suitable for students that are moving their first steps in neurology and are starting to grow an interest. It's a very good support for residents that want to have something more besides of the residency program. And I really think that it's starting to be a very important referral for mid-career neurologists, which doing their daily work want to have a research-based support, both for current practice, but also for updates. And also really think that the expert content is very useful because each of us does have a subspecialty, and it's very important to keep updated with that, but also to keep updated with other specialties. And sometimes, given that we focus on specific topics, we don't really have this opportunity, while the e-learning platform is always there and always with the latest content with high-level speakers. And so I think that it's something that can be used through all the stages of their career. So I really think that this was a great goal that we reached. And also, I believe that a very important point of the e-learning platform is the accessibility for everyone. It has to be remembered that we did start this journey just after the COVID pandemics. And it was a time where we really missed congresses and the opportunity to attend courses. And at the time, e-learning really became, it was something new, and it rapidly became part of our work and also our preparation. So I think we really got in the right moment. And it, now it's a very nice thread of both presence and online events.
Yeah, I think it will replace textbooks. How do you think about that? Do you think anybody of your generation will use textbooks in the future, or will be the e-learning the future type of learning material?
So I really think this is very personal, and some of us, a little bit myself, I admit, we do have this vintage passion for books. So it is always very something that gives a bit of security to have a textbook in which you can go and check everything. But on the other hand, our field is evolving so fast, and sometimes when the book is printed, it's already outdated. So for sure, the e-learning will always become a more important platform for learning. And also something important is that we do not only have updated, but we do also provide the basics for learning. So I really think that actually someone could study 99% on our platform. And for sure.
Yeah, I think it's very nice that you also still like books. I like them. And I still have a lot of books. But for actually learning at the spot, I in my generation use now the internet, e-learning. And the problem we had before we launched our platform was that we always thought there's a bias in the content which we get from the internet. And with the platform, we really secure that there is high quality material. And I think what's special about the platform is that every single content is checked by at least two, if not three or more people regarding the quality, not only the neurological quality, but also the audio quality and the overall quality. And that's what I call the modern peer review compared to having two reviewers of publications, for example, in peer-reviewed journals. And now we do the same thing for the platform. We have at least two, if not three people checking on the content before it's put on the online. So that keeps the quality hopefully very high. And so far, fortunately enough, we had a very good feedback from the users which rated the quality, the overall quality of the content either on target or above target and far more than 90% of cases. So I think that's a nice goal we reached so far. But of course, it's always work to keep it up. And I think what's one of the very important things for the future is to take off outdated stuff. As you mentioned, textbooks are usually outdated at the time when they appear in the bookshelves. And we have to be careful that content on the platform is not outdated as well. So we have to check everything on an annual basis if you have to take it off or if it's still good enough for keeping it on the platform.
Thank you, Barbara. I think it's very interesting for our listener also to know a little bit what's behind the curtain in our editorial board work. So as Barbara said, we do have continuous ongoing work on reviewing new material, old material, and make sure everything is always at the level of the platform that we want it to be, which is the highest level possible. And indeed, I think that also during the last year, we did an upgrade of the platform. What do you think? What were the major improvements that we have introduced since the platform has started in the last years?
I think the major improvement is introducing quite a number of interactive case studies and interactive modules. I think they are the best learning experience. I would have loved to have something like that when I was a young resident, to go through cases spot by spot and then learning during the case how to handle the case, how to do the diagnosis, which investigations to do, and then how to do the treatment afterwards. And what we did from the start is that we also deliver explanations for the wrong answers. So if you go through the cases, you get explanations why you were wrong if you hit on the wrong answer. And that, I think, is also a very important experience for learning. And additionally, we introduced the the basic courses. I think you mentioned it beforehand that it's, I would call it comparable to an introductory book chapter. So for each topic, which are by now more than 30 subtopics within neurology, like multiple sclerosis or stroke or epilepsy or whatever you can think of, but also points like leadership or gender aspects, we have started to have basic courses as an introduction, which are really your fundamental courses, which are the fundamentals of this part of the platform. I think that's a real gain of the platform, which we introduced lately. And then we put on basic clinical skill courses, which were produced last year. And they are very extensive. So I think what I sometimes miss on resident education in the hospital at the moment is that everybody just goes for, oh, do an MRI and then we see what's going on. But before that, we should do a very careful clinical examination. And I was brought up in a time when there was even no MRI existing. So I learned neurology by just doing clinical neurology using my hammer and using my brain. And these basic clinical skill courses we have put on the platform are really showing you how you can investigate a patient without using extra material or other investigational stuff rather than your mind and your hands, your hammer, maybe a stick for testing some sensation, prick sensation, temperature sensation, whatever. And they are really nice to look at, I think. So you get a very good introduction into neurology. That's especially for the very young ones, because I think nobody in a hospital still has got time to go in every patient together with a student or a young resident through the full examination, which takes more than an hour if you do it very carefully.
I agree. And neurology is a very clinical specialty, in fact. And there are a lot of things that can be learned and also understood by the examination. And another important thing is that besides of having the time to show the residents, we do not always have the right patient for showing the right sign. And the clinical skill video really offer a 360-degree on neurological semiology, which is again not always easy to show in everyday practice. And I think it is true that it's good for students and for first year residents, but I actually think that also for mid-career neurologists, which again sometimes tend to focus very much on their subspecialty and might need a refresh on clinical skill, is also a very good. And it's hard sometimes, you know, when you're a bit farther in your career to go and ask a peer to show you something that, of course, you're already studied at your time. So I think it's a very discreet way to refresh some topics that sometimes can get a bit dusted.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You mentioned a very important point that, I mean, for myself, like being more a specialist in epileptology, sports neurology, maybe stroke medicine, but not so much into, for example, multiple sclerosis, I can really use the fundamental courses and the basics as well to just get fresh up on these parts and see. So by preparing everything or checking everything for the platform, I really learn a lot myself. So that keeps up my level of knowledge in all aspects of neurology, even as a rather experienced person. Yeah, that's completely right.
Yeah, and something else which is also something that is in a roadmap to be, let's say, potentiated and also implemented more in next year, is the possibility to do some, let's say, exams and verification on what you've learned. Me, myself, I'm a bit of a fan of exams. I like to see the result of what I've learned, and I like to see what I can improve. So the possibility of following something and then complete an exam to check on myself is something that gives me a lot of security. So I think this is another very good opportunity for everyone to improve their learning.
Yeah, it's good for improving the learning. It's also, as you said, fun. I always like the doing the exams. I do them myself, actually. And I think it's fun to do this gamification to receive your points on the dashboard. And then I think we have to mention that the users who have the most points on the dashboard, they get free entrance to the congress, I think. The one who has most points in a year. So that should keep up the level of entertainment a bit and make it even more interesting to reach a lot of points. And of course, if you have a lot of points, then you can reach the next level of experience on the educational platform and go to the more advanced content and then have these capstone exams again for the next level before you come to the experienced level.
Yeah, and I think this is also a very good opportunity for younger members, which might not have the possibility to join the Congress, but want to. And they might also be not in the position at that moment to get any bursary for the Congress. And I think this is very, again, a good opportunity because through your learning and through how well you perform in something that is free and accessible for all, you get the opportunity to join the European Congress, which is, of course, a big thing. So
it would be really great if almost everybody from Europe would come to the Congress. But as you said, especially for the people who might not have the possibility to travel, then the e-learning platform is probably the best possibility. And we put the content of the Congress, if the quality is high enough, on the platform after each Congress. So you will have a long-standing experience even after the Congress from the content. I think this is the right point to mention that in the beginning, the platform was only accessible to EAN members. But beginning of this year, we opened up the platform so that all associate members of the EAN can have access to almost the full platform, not the full platform, but almost all items. And if anybody is a member of a national society which belongs to the EAN, then they have access to these e-learning contents from our platform.
Yes, and I think that this partnership that we do have with other national societies to allow the possibility to access the EAN campus was a really great introduction, because not all neurological society do offer e-learning or e-learning content. And I think this is really one step forward in trying to harmonize the neurological preparation in Europe, which is one of the goals, of course, of the society. It is very important that the learning level gets similar everywhere in order to provide the patient for the best care. So I really think that is the thing of reaching associate members, another step forward in the ideal of accessibility of neurology learning that we do have as the e-learning committee.
If you would have a wish for the future, what do you wish for the platform?
So, as I mentioned, and as I just said, accessibility for me is one of the most important feature of e-learning. E-learning means that you are able to reach everyone beyond borders, both geographical and both economical borders. So I really wish that e-learning platform could be accessible for everyone. And a special dream of mine is also to go beyond Europe, because there are some areas in the world that are underserved, which would definitely benefit from updates in neurology and learning in neurology. So I think that a very good goal and wish for the future is to reach also the underserved areas, also beyond Europe, to improve neurological care for patients worldwide. What is a dream of yours?
Really. Yeah, it's more or less similar, that I think neurology is so important. Of course, I am a neurologist and I'm fully hearted neurologist. I think the brain is our most important organ, and we all should try to bring neurology to not only neurologists, but also to to everybody in the world, like in the mission of brain health, we should really make it public how important the brain is for our overall health, for the society, on the economic part as well as on the social part. And in that sense, I think it can't be broad enough to bring the message to Europe and to the world that the neurology is very important, the brain is very important, but of course also muscles and nerves and peripheral nervous system, not only the brain and the spinal cord in all aspects. And we really try to cover all aspects on the platform now and in the future and keep up the interest on all parts of neurology and all subspecialties. That, I think, is the goal for the future, and keep it updated in a very high quality. Anything else you would like to mention about the platform?
Not really, just to remind to our listener to join the platform and also to try to compete in the gamification and to keep updated on the new content we're releasing on a regular basis.
Yeah. Exactly. You mentioned it, though. Thanks a lot for this nice talk today, Roberta.
Thank you.
And I hope we see each other live very soon again at the next educational meeting. But up to then, I hope that we get a lot more listeners to the podcast and a lot more users for the EAN campus. And I wish everybody a lot of fun using the platform. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EANcast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.